The following program is part of our Here and Now 2016 Wisconsin Vote election coverage.
Funding for Here and Now is provided in part by Friends of Wisconsin Public Television.
Tonight, Here and Now, from the city of Wausau, in the heart of the state, in the heart of the election season, where local voters are looking for answers to their top concerns.
I personally am concerned about immigration issues.
Issue number one in Wausau is jobs. I think that's really important to everyone, jobs and economic development.
I believe in supporting those that need help, but there needs to be some encouragement for them to go back to work.
Welcome to Wausau and a Here and Now Wisconsin Vote Special. We're coming to you live from the Thrive Foodery in Wausau's River District. A busy night here at Thrive as customers kick off their weekend with dinner and conversation. Conversation that may well include politics. I'm Frederica Freiberg. Welcome to Wausau and a special edition of Here and Now. It's our first stop as we travel the state with our Wisconsin Public Radio partners to take our Wisconsin Vote Election Project on the road. Tonight, we'll dive into the 7th congressional race. Later, a UW political scientist surveys the politics of the central part of our state. We'll learn about the deeply rooted Hmong community in the Wausau area. And reporter Zach Schultz takes a look at the lack of trust in this election season. But first, Wausau's 7th congressional district is represented in Washington by Republican Sean Duffy, who is in his third term. Congressman Duffy was invited to appear together tonight with his opponent. He said he was unable to schedule it. We also asked if he would sit down with us for a one-on-one interview to be taped anytime, anywhere during this past week. He declined that request as well. The challenger in the race is Democrat Mary Heft. In addition to her years as a professor at UW-Barron County in Rice Lake, Ms. Heft is also a former Rice Lake School Board member. Mary Heft joins us now, and thanks very much for being
here. Thank you, Frederica. It's my pleasure.
Well, now, it's quite a jump from school board to Congress, but why did you decide to take on a well-financed incumbent?
Well, I didn't take on a well-financed incumbent. I took on a mission. My university students were suffering. I saw their plight. I saw the difficulty for them to pay their tuition, to get full-time jobs supporting moms and dads. Poverty in Wisconsin, 30-year all-time high. So when Democratic leaders came to me and said, Mary, do this, I said, I have to. I'm doing this for my students.
Now, you've repeatedly asked Sean Duffy to withdraw his support for Donald Trump. His response to that has been variations on this theme, which we quote now in his absence. He says, Trump's recent comments are reprehensible. I never endorsed Donald Trump because of his stance on women or his family values. I endorsed him for his policies, defeating ISIS, securing our border, and growing our economy. What is your reaction to that reasoning on his part?
Well, it makes no sense. This is a man. We're talking Donald Trump right now, who has admitted to the sexual abuse of women. So Sean Duffy calls that Donald Trump's private life. But that is a man who would be president. And as a man who would be president, he's going to be addressing issues of gender inequity, violence against women and men, reproductive rights. These are all policies that a president is going to have a huge impact on. And Sean Duffy knows that. He knows that. You can't separate the two.
For his part, he asks how you can support Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Hillary Clinton, all someone has to do is do the research on this woman. A woman who, when she graduated from law school, could have taken any prestigious job. Instead, what she's done is spend a lifetime fighting for the rights of women and children. I have great admiration for this woman and her. What she's done for us as Americans, great admiration.
What is your number one issue in this, the 7th congressional district?
It's changed. Right now, it's my realization that money is buying the votes of people in Congress and Senate. My opponent, Sean Duffy, recently has accepted $400,000 in political contributions from bankers, but he chairs the Banking Oversight Committee in Congress. He's accepted the money from the people he oversees, and he knows they want something in return for their votes, something he's willing to give them. He has made it his cause to cripple the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And that's the bureau just recently that uncovered what Wells Fargo did.
Now, I took a look at the campaign finance reporting, and yours says that you have raised $63,000. That's quite a difference from Congressman Sean Duffy.
Frederica, I think it's better than that now. It's way better.
Yeah.
It's how I've raised my money is not from, I don't have the Koch brothers in back of me like he does. It's why he says there's no such thing as climate change. He has to. The Koch brothers right now have companies that spew 24 million tons of carbon into the air that you and I breathe every year. He has to deny it. So he gets their big funding by denying that there's such a thing as climate change.
We should reiterate at this point that we did invite Congressman Sean Duffy to join us, and he declined that opportunity.
And I think this is why he declined, and I think it's why he micromanaged the debates that we're going to have.
I want to move on to health care, and specifically the Affordable Care Act. There are stark differences between your positions. Here is his, quoting from his website, his campaign website, again in his absence. It says, Sean Duffy has voted to repeal Obamacare dozens of times now, and he has also kept his promise to introduce his own proposal. Sean's market-focused proposal, it says on his website, retains the few good portions of Obamacare, but puts doctors and patients in charge of health decisions rather than unelected government bureaucrats. Respond to that and also tell us about your support of a plan that's akin to Medicare for All.
Right. Sean Duffy made a promise. His promise to the people was that he would not vote against the Affordable Care Act until he had an alternative that was viable. And that the alternative that he's talking about right now is an alternative I haven't even seen. What the people need, all people, well, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, we've got 20 million people who previously weren't insured. We're at almost 90% of the people in our country that are insured now. People with pre-existing conditions, like I just talked to a man who was near tears when he said, my son with diabetes finally now can get insurance. That's important. The problem is that it's too expensive for many, and so we've got to have a single payer, and that's a viable plan.
All right, we need to leave it there. Mary Hatch, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, reporter Zach Schultz says Wisconsinites have some very definite opinions on the subject of trust in this election, trust in the process and the players, including the media. His report in just a few moments as we continue our Here and Now Wisconsin Vote special here at Thrive Foodery in Wausau.
I think that most of the people I've talked with are really frustrated with the media coverage, both sides. I mean, both public and, not public, but general media as well as the conservative media.
Welcome back. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have the highest unfavorable ratings of any presidential candidates in history. Now, one of the biggest storylines that Donald Trump has inserted into the race is whether or not the election will feature rampant voter fraud. So it's probably not surprising to hear that Americans' trust in government, politics, and the media have reached all-time lows. Here and Now reporter Zach Schultz shows us what that means on the campaign trail in Wisconsin.
Is a new batch of emails. That's all ahead this hour.
Over the course of four decades, Donald Trump built his personal brand believing the old phrase, there's no such thing as bad publicity. But the last few months in the spotlight may have changed his mind.
Oh, is the media dishonest? How dishonest are these people?
And his supporters are fully on board.
The general media, I don't trust at all.
I think they're very biased.
They aren't out of the mainstream. According to the pollster Gallup, American trust in mass media has reached an all-time low, with just 32% saying they have a fair amount or great deal of trust in the media. Broken down by party, just 14% of Republicans have at least a fair amount of trust in the media. At 51%, Democrats are considerably more confident in the media, but even they have big concerns.
What I think is rough in the news coverage is that people who get the most press are usually people making outrageous statements or doing some crazy thing.
A lot of the media portrays politics as a personality contest, as a Dancing with the Stars event.
You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes.
Charlie Sykes has spent the last couple decades building his own media brand as the most influential conservative talk show host in Wisconsin.
There was a perception on the part of conservatives that the mainstream media was biased, that it was unfair, that it was selective in what it covered, and I think this was true. And as a result of this, you had a market for conservative talk radio.
Introducing the next president of the United States, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
But the rise of Donald Trump has led Sykes to believe conservative talk radio went too far in delegitimizing mainstream media in the eyes and ears of conservatives.
Our critiques of the mainstream media had perhaps had unintended consequences, that we had been too successful.
Sykes was one of the first and loudest voices in the Never Trump movement.
Because I think what Donald Trump has done has been to create this perfect storm of awfulness.
He tried to counter Trump supporters with facts from the New York Times or Washington Post.
The instinctive reaction was, well, those are liberal rags. We don't need to pay any attention. And that was my whoa moment. Have we actually created kind of a monster here?
Conservative voters today don't need the mainstream media to feel informed. Beyond Fox News, they have websites like Breitbart and the Drudge Report that aggregate content from other sources, not all of them reputable or reported with the highest standards of journalism. Trump's biggest media asset is his Twitter account, with 12.5 million followers retweeting his message.
His Twitter account and all the people that are promoting him on Twitter, that helps a lot.
You wake up and you realize, well, there are no more gatekeepers. There's no more fact-checking.
We have to watch what's going on. Because this is a dirty business. This is a very, very dirty business. You know what I mean. Watch what's going on.
Trump doesn't stop with attacking the media.
He has delegitimized all of the institutions of our society.
Trump has attacked the whole system, from government to the military to political parties to the political process itself.
It's all part of the rigged system being run at your expense.
They're already having dead people vote in Colorado on absentee ballots. I mean, they can't win without cheating.
You know, here we are, in which you do have the wildest conspiracy theories from the far reaches of the alt-right fever swamps that are now part of the mainstream political dialogue, and that's dangerous.
It's made voters across the political spectrum nervous about whether the election will be legitimate.
I'm not as comfortable with it this year, no.
I keep reading stories about, you know, missing ballots and this and that.
Things on the internet, you know, where people that are in charge of our elections have been shown and proven how easily it can be rigged.
They're going to blame it on being rigged, and this will be very important for their narrative. And I think the damage that will do to the country is huge because they do have this echo chamber where they will convince an awful lot of people that somehow this was stolen from them.
Charlie Sykes is ending his radio show at the end of the year and plans to write a book about what happened to the conservative movement.
And I think that conservatives, honestly, at the end of this process, have to look themselves in the eye and say, okay, to what extent did we contribute to that? To what extent did we ignore that? And where do we go from here?
The people who can hear political messaging in the media and on the trail and cut through the clutter, Our next guest gives us an expert's edge. Chair of the UW-Stevens Point Political Science Department, Professor John Blakeman. And Professor, thanks very much for being
here. Thanks for having me.
Well, so as to this question of media bias helping rig the election, according to the Trump campaign, what is your reaction to this talk of this election being rigged?
Well, from the standpoint of media bias, I don't know. I think the media has been a little more accommodating to the Clinton campaign than the Trump campaign, perhaps. But the media cannot rig an election in and of itself. And when Trump goes on to talk about rigging an election, I think he's also talking about the process, which has a sort of a deeper, darker issue associated with it.
Well, so how resonant in these parts is that idea of conspiracy, along with the vitriol that kind of necessarily comes with it?
Right. Well, you know, about 50% of Trump supporters buy the rigged election argument right now. And Trump isn't the first candidate to make it. John McCain made it back in 2008, but he quickly backtracked from it. Whereas it seems now to be a very solid part of Trump's campaign message.
Now, you were telling me about something you call rural rage at work in Wisconsin. How does that manifest in this election?
Well, in Wisconsin, interestingly, if you look, for instance, at the most recent Marquette poll, which does divide people up according to whether they live in an urban, suburban, or rural area, rural voters actually don't differ too much on economic issues. On other policy issues. Where they really differ is on immigration. And so perhaps Trump's message on immigration is appealing to people in more rural areas and driving a kind of angst or rage that will prompt them to vote.
Is it your sense that voters in rural areas are the candidates for these voters are tapping into the so-called politics of resentment?
Yeah, I think there is a lot to the politics of resentment, but I think in Wisconsin, a lot of the politics of resentment are really state-level issues that have to do with higher education or the role of the DNR in regulating the deer herd. And these really aren't national issues, and Trump, of course, is not going to address any of that.
What kind of position does Trump put down-ballot Republican candidates in, especially in this part of the state where he won the primary in the 3rd and 7th congressional districts?
Well, wrong kind, and the 3rd has no challenger, so I guess there's no down-ballot issue there unless a lot of people write in someone else, which could happen. In the 7th district, Sean Duffy is a two-term incumbent now. He's been very successful getting votes, winning elections, I should say. I don't really see that down ballot issues in the 7th are going to be much of an issue at all.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, John Blakeman.
Yeah, thank you.
And if you are just joining us and notice that we are not in our usual studio digs, that is because we're coming to you live from Wausau's River District, specifically from the dining room of Thrive Foodery, co-owned and operated by David Lorio and Elizabeth Pinner. And we want to give a shout out to David and Elizabeth for allowing us in tonight. We asked one of them to join us for an interview and they turned us down. That's not because they're shy or unfriendly, but because they say they cannot leave the kitchen on a busy Friday night. And there they are, a Louisiana native. David has grown roots in Wausau and dedicates his kitchen to the mission of sustainability and community outreach. Thrive's menu features produce from Wausau area growers, local dairy and meats, and craft beer as well. Even Beth and David's location is a acclaimed local warehouse featuring fixtures from the original butcher farm. Worker Travis Hoffman. Even the walls are reclaimed materials, including the building's original overhead garage door and other doors and panels reclaimed by the Wausau Habitat for Humanity. Coming up next on our Wisconsin Vote special edition of Here and Now, a look at the cultural and economic contributions of the Hmong people in Wausau.
It's interesting how businesses and different fields of study or skills are sharing knowledge with each other. And Wausau seems to cultivate that kind of a community sense.
Welcome back to Wausau's Thrive Foodery. A prominent part of the Wausau community is the Hmong population in Marathon and surrounding counties. About 9,000 people of Southeast Asian descent now call Central Wisconsin home. As allies of the U.S. during the Vietnam War, the first to arrive landed here following the U.S. withdrawal from Vietnam. Wisconsin has the third highest Hmong population in the country, and Wausau the second highest in the state. Now, the transition has not always been easy or smooth, but now some 40 years on, new generations of Hmong call the Wausau area the only home they've known and are increasingly leaders in the community. For example, 22-year-old Yilang Zhang was just elected to the Marathon County Board of Supervisors, and he joins us now. Well, thanks very much for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell us about your family and when and why they arrived in Wausau.
Sure. My family arrived in the 1980s. You know, I was not the first family here, but, you know, we were one of the ones who arrived in the 1980s. So it was fantastic, and we chose this as a place to be, and, you know, it's been great ever since.
How would you describe the transition that came with the arrival, both for Hmong families and the Wausau community?
Sure. You know, in the past, Wausau was known as the whitest city in the entire, you know, in the entire country. But, you know, in the last 40 years, there has been a lot of progress that has been done to the point where, you know, we have elected officials that are Hmong of descent, such as me and, you know, and Mary Tao, who sits on the Wausau School Board.
Is there still work to do integrating Hmong families into the fabric of the Wausau community?
Sure. You know, there can always be improvement in everything. You know, the Wausau community and the Marathon County has been very supportive of the progress and the integrating of the Hmong community into the larger community at large. You know, we are booming. We're having businesses. You know, we have Hmong teachers, Hmong lawyers, and everything. You know, there's still work to be done, but, you know, there has been a lot of progress that has been done in the last 40 years as well.
Has the presidential campaign rhetoric around immigrants brought out lingering racial divisions in this area?
Sure. You know, that's a very good question. From what my experience, you know, this has been the year where I've seen a lot of Hmong individuals, especially people in the Hmong community, who has paid very close attention to the presidential election. You know, all of them were children or an exact product of refugees and everything. So, you know, they were product of immigrants and everything. And so it makes them look at the election very closely. And this, like I said before, this is the first time I've seen them this interested in an election, in politics.
As a county supervisor, what are the issues you most want to address on behalf of your Hmong constituents?
You know, I represent the District 19, but a lot of the Hmong individuals kind of see me as the liaison to the Marathon County Board. I've seen many problems and many obstacles, I should say, that stops the Hmong community from advancing much further. There's been a lot of mental health problems in the Hmong community that I see that's a very big issue. They think of the word mental health in Hmong means crazy. So, you know, there needs to be a lot of education. In addition, we see that there's not a lot of cultural sensitive programs that are able to help our Hmong youth to be able to help them build confidence and help and also be sensitive to their culture.
Now, I know that Wausau now has a Hmong Chamber of Commerce to assist business startups. How needed is that in your mind?
Sure. You know, the Hmong community, you know, we were brought to this country with the hopes of being able to participate with elections, get education, also be able to participate in the, you know, business field. And, you know, a lot of Hmong individuals in the Hmong community, I know, that wants to start business. They want to pursue the American dream and everything. And with the Hmong Chamber of Commerce here, you know, providing that resources, providing loans, and that resources to them, that allows them to be able to pursue the American dream.
Where do you envision the Hmong community in Wausau being 40 years from now?
That's a very fantastic question. We ask that question all the time to ourselves. You know, we want to see a world where, you know, where we as the Hmong community are able to thrive as other race. You know, we've only been here 40 years, but we made more progress than we have ever had in the last 200 years. And so, we want to see us even advance even more and be, you know, just like everybody else.
All right. Yilang Zhang, thank you very much for being here. Finally tonight, in addition to programs like Here and Now, Wisconsin Public Television also produces hour-long programs that explore the history of cities across the state. So tonight, a short glimpse from Hometown Stories, Wausau.
Changes in Wausau's skyline reflect new growth on the riverside, as new uses are found for the old industrial sites that once lined the banks.
One of the things that really anchors, I think, the history of Wausau is the Wisconsin River. It still tells the story of 1839 when George Stevens came up, started his first sawmill. It still tells the story of a variety of other people that have come and made Wausau what it is. And I think that anchor is the Wisconsin River that continues to flow down this wonderful city.
Hometown Stories Wausau can be found in its entirety on our website at WPT.org. From the banks of the Wisconsin River to the Wausau River District and Fry Foodery, our Here and Now home for the evening, we want to thank co-owners and chefs David Lorio and Elizabeth Hinner for letting us set up shop and broadcast on a busy Friday night. Next week, our WPR-WPT Wisconsin Vote Project hits the road again, and Here and Now will come to you from La Crosse and the Pearl Street Brewery. For more on our upcoming Wisconsin Vote road trip programs, including the Joy Cardine Show, Here and Now, and our Meet the Media events, go to the events page at wisconsinvote.org. I'm Frederica Freiber. Have a great weekend.
Funding for Here and Now is provided in part by Friends of Wisconsin Public Television.
For more information on Here and Now's 2016 election coverage, go to wisconsinvote.org.